Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 106 of the Van Hemlock Podcast.
I mixed it up.
You're crazy. You are. You're reckless.
Yes, we're back.
We are.
We decided to look at games.
Yeah, we're giving the topics a bit of a unsuccessful rest, as it turns out, because we've got a topic to talk about a bit later on anyway. This show, but yeah, I picked one out at random this time. It's my go. You get to pick the next one. This last fortnight, we've both been playing Global Agenda.
Yeah. Now the reason why I thought we should go back to doing these is, I have been a little bit burnt out on MMOs.
Yeah, we're looking for different.
We're looking for change. And I want to look at games and see what they do well. What can we learn from them? Nobody makes a game that they set out to be bad.
Yeah.
I don't think. Everyone sets out to make a game to be the best they can, but issues come along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get a game which maybe most people are ignoring or isn't quite doing as well as Warcraft, there will always be something in that game which is really, really good that other games can learn from.
Absolutely.
I believe.
Somewhere, an amalgam of all of these will eventually become the perfect game.
And also, I want to look at games which do stuff different. I am quite experienced, I'd say, with the existing model of X number of levels using hotkeys to do attacks.
The standard Deku Mud, I believe academics call them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that there's an awful lot of people trying to do other stuff.
Trying to break free, trying to mix
it
up.
Maybe not always succeeding, but everyone's moving.
Experimenting.
Trying stuff, and we need people to try stuff. And while games such as Tabula Rasa or something may have fallen on the wayside, people are still trying to innovate and try new things, so that's good.
I mean, Tabula Rasa was an innovation and a departure from the normal thing, and for one reason or another it didn't last till today, but there were interesting things. And I was thinking about it, and I thought, I wonder if Global Agenda's where it went next. The idea of the MMO FPS. I've always been a long time fan of Planetside myself.
Well, the problem was Tabula Rasa wasn't really that great an FPS. It was sort of half an FPS. And you're not going to get FPS players by doing that.
No. And that's one of the reasons Planetside never really achieved awesome greatness.
Yeah.
Because there are better FPSs than anything an MMO can provide. But perhaps Global Agenda is different. So we decided to have a look.
Now, we need to make it clear that, as we said on the news show, rather inconsiderately, halfway through doing this, they released a massive patch changing the way the game worked.
Yeah, so many of our initial thoughts and observations may be no longer relevant. But I did actually get a chance to play post-Sandstorm 1.3
as well.
Had a quick go, one session of a few hours. So I have a little bit of an idea of what happened next and where it's gone from there. So, yeah, Global Agenda, it's available on Steam, which is smart move.
That's where I got it.
Yeah, I got mine there as well. You can find it in the under G, I imagine. They've got.
Do you know one of the reasons why I started buying games on Steam quite positively?
Yeah,
because I will get a free Mac version if the Mac version comes out.
For future planning.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a free download. It's about, I don't know, is it 5 or 6 gigs, something like that? But it's Steam,
it was seven or eight, actually.
Something like that. Yeah. They do an unlimited time free trial, but it's capped at level 15. So you can continue to play once you're at 15 and keep making up to 8 characters to 15 without paying a penny.
And when you buy the box, you get the ability to do quite a lot of the content forever.
Yeah, they got an interesting model. The initial thing's free, this free trial bit. You pay your box price, which then unlocks you all the way up to level 50, clears you for a lot of the different types of arena and event in the game, and then they do a subscription model, and I can't remember how much that was, but it wasn't as much as a normal sub.
It was one of the cheap
$6 or something a month.
It was 7 or 8, I think.
Yeah,
maybe,
which then clears you for conquest mode, which is now no longer called that, apparently, after the patch. And that adds a sort of element of large-scale map persistence to the whole thing, so it lets you play on a number of different levels. Right, I did my notes. I got me bits of paper. You want to jump in when I shout something that you recognise? Okay, so I started making notes on my very first play session. So just the initial impressions of it all. I got. I like the tutorial and the little intro and the cutscene and everything. The tutorial section was really quite engaging. I found myself quite drawn into the plot of it all. You start life as a test. It's all a bit Matrixy.
It's a bit Matrixy, yeah.
You're some kind of captured agent who's being cybernetically enhanced but hasn't yet had his brain reprogrammed, and in come a bunch of rebels and they blow the place up and die in the attempt, leaving you in the wreckage with a mission to escape to freedom. I've written 2055, post-World War III. So that's quite optimistic. I like the initial loading screen, you know, the cutscene, slash screen, everything. It's got a picture of the Earth, but it's got massive global warming's happened and half the continents are all all underwater and everything, which is quite cool. I've written Evil Empire. Yeah,
yep.
There's always the Evil Empire. The Terran Confederacy, that's StarCraft, I'm sure. There is a confederation of some sort, or a commonwealth. It's a commonwealth. There you go. But the usual shock troopers, brutal dictatorship, etc. And you and every other player work for the plucky rebels hiding in the desert in little dome cities trying to bring it all down. Which is a good enough reason to be there.
Now, going back slightly to the tutorial, that was literally running along corridors shooting stuff.
Yeah, I've written exciting tutorial there. I've written jetpack! Which you get straight away.
You do get a jetpack, yeah. And before the patch, the jetpack could only be used.
That was an interesting decision.
Without being able to fire a gun. Yep. So you equip the jetpack and then you can fly for a bit.
Uses your same power.
It's more of a jump pack.
Jump pack, really, yeah.
Yeah, but it's post patch, there's a hands free jetpack available now.
Which lets you shoot and jump, but presumably still uses the same power that powers your guns as well. So
it let me jump around and not do anything useful. Now, should we describe the combat? Because that's where you first reach the combat.
The real nuts and bolts of it, the real guts of Global Agenda, is that it is a third person, MMO FPS.
Yeah.
Well, it should be TPS, really, shouldn't it?
Yes.
Our acronyms need to change.
3PS?
Anyway. And the tutorial is an entirely PvE section that you basically run through a series of different areas, shooting robots that are trying to chase you and bring you down. I don't know. Did it feel floaty to you? You're more the FPS expert to me.
It felt different.
Felt a bit floaty.
After the patch.
Did it?
Yeah.
I sort of felt different.
I don't know if I'm not just imagining this. Or what, but before the patch, when I was firing and shooting, it felt very floaty, very stat based,
quite laggy. I couldn't immediately tell if it was actual FPS or whether it was doing dice rolls. Yeah. I mean, every time I hit there, I always did the same amount of damage to the monsters.
Yeah, I was doing that as well.
So, yeah, I don't know if there's some sort of cone of fire thing going on there. If the reticle turns red, then it will score you.
I don't know. But before the patch, when I was zooming in using the right mouse button on a gun, which gives you, you would expect it to give you an iron scope in. And a normal first person shooter, but this goes into a proper scope. And before, when I was doing that, trying to go for headshots, I'd be missing quite a lot.
I don't think they had hit locations.
No.
No,
it doesn't at all.
Shoot them in the foot, same damage.
But after the patch, when I was doing that, I seemed to be hitting a lot more reliably. So I don't know if that changed or not.
Some sort of optimization code.
That just happened to be.
After the patch, were you soloing?
Yeah.
I wonder.
Ah, good point.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a minute. But I don't know. Like I say, I'm not really that great at first person, third person, whatever shooting myself, and I don't play an awful lot of them. I mean, I do enjoy Borderlands, and that's probably about the best one I'm the best at. But
it's
A bit laggy. Yeah, well, obviously the console stuff seemed a bit better. I mean, even first person shooters, single player on the PC. You know,
it feels laggy.
I don't know.
I don't particularly like the mouse controls for a first person shooter. I find it incredibly hard to do. I find it a lot harder to do than I do with a controller.
Yeah, I was missing a lot. I don't know whether that was just my cack-handedness or whether it is genuinely a quite tricky beast. Do you have to lead a lot to hit stuff? Do you have to wait for your moment and shoot when they're standing still. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I remember Tabula Rasa feeling a bit better to shoot, but yeah. Then Tabula Rasa had a sort of auto lock thing. You got your mouse anywhere near the target, it would stick to them. Then you just let them have it.
Yeah.
This doesn't do that at all. So you do need to aim the whole way through and on your own. There's no aiming helpers there. Yeah. I've written tutorial boss kicked my ass. Do you remember the bit where you go through the one-way force field
yeah.
and there's that floating robot outside?
Yeah.
That beat the shit out of me.
Well, you suck.
It really did. It really hammered me. And I, on all four classes, because I actually went through the tutorial on all four classes. You've got four classes, by the way. There's an assault guy, who I presume corresponds broadly to your tank class. There's a robotics guy who's like some pet class. You can drop turrets and walk force fields and so on. There's the recon, which I think is your sort of partial stealth rogue backstabby sort of thing, and a medic who's your healer, obviously. Interestingly, you don't have character names for any of these. It all uses your account name, whichever one you log in as. So, and you can have eight of these characters, and I'm just wondering why you'd ever need more than
there's four. A skill system.
There was the talent trees, which looked quite familiar.
Yeah,
I've seen that elsewhere before. Spend your points, work up the little arrowy chart in three different areas. Yeah, I don't know. Was it me that sucked? Did you have any trouble with that boss?
No.
I wonder if I'm running my PC settings too high.
I'd ramp them down immediately.
Yeah, I mean, it does some the player models and outfits and guns and everything. They're all very highly detailed, but at a certain cost. I
drop the res, drop the graphics details down. First thing I do on a game like that.
It sort of distresses me a bit. I mean, I remember when I was doing my Agony Unleashed Eve PvP, and you know, one of the first things they told you to do in the prep was turn everything off.
That's one of the issues I have with PC gaming.
When you've got
a competitive thing like that, unless you've got a state-of-the-art PC.
And even then,
you have to turn everything off to give yourself an advantage because you can turn it off.
Yeah,
which
so you
gives
turn
you
it all
advantage.
Down to minimum graphics settings possible. It all looks rubbish, so you get a bad impression of the game from that. But at least it's smooth.
Whereas
and playable.
With a fixed system like a console
they
or
can optimize
a game
for
with
it.
No graphics settings, everyone's on the same. Level.
Well, so I'm wondering if I was suffering because I had the graphics up too high. I mean, I'd rather take good-looking graphics to smooth graphics any time, but that can have downsides in this kind of context, which is a problem.
With this sort of game, you have to go for smooth over anything.
Let's see. Well, I've written shoot or jump pack. Yeah, I thought that was an interesting choice. You have your sort of number keys along the bottom, which has your melee weapon.
Yeah,
melee weapons were a bit improbable, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
Giant mace thing made out of energy.
I had very little luck with melee weapons. No, I ended up using guns.
I couldn't work out what the right mouse button shield thing was.
Was a shield.
Yeah, but it didn't seem to stop any kind of incoming damage or anything at all. So I don't know what that was about. But you can tank it up literally with a shield and a sword and board, I suppose. I mean, the assault guys get this giant, very improbable energy axe thing.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I just found, I just never found myself using those again in all the time I was playing during
neither
that fortnight.
They may be brilliant in PvP.
Awesome. I don't know. But it just seemed, hang on, here we are in the sci-fi future with guns and like energy guns at that. Why the hell do I want to whip out some kind of lightsaber type axe thing? You know, I don't know. So, yep. A written plot. Yeah, the tutorial bit where the elite assassin guy jumps in and there's a bit of dialogue going on and that woman on the radio and everything. I was getting quite drawn into that. I was quite excited about all that. What's going on here? This is interesting.
You know what I was thinking at that stage?
Yeah.
They don't want to keep this up, are they?
Yeah. My co-host considerably less naive than I am, of course. I was quite looking forward to finding out what happened next. But you get through the tutorial, you get welcomed by the guy with half a face in the dome place, and then that's it, as far as I could tell. I couldn't see immediately if there was just no story, no context, no background, nothing.
There wasn't even a lot of indications on what to do next.
No. I've written that a bit further on. I've written minigun. This must have been when I was doing my assault guy. You get your specialist slot. Everyone seems to get the rifle, which they all seemed quite to be basically the same gun but with different light trails. But the third, your slot three is different for everyone. The robotics person gets a repair arm thing, which I quite thought was cool. The little on your shoulder arm, sort of Flight of the Navigator looking thing. The assault guy gets a mini gun, which just sit there, fire like hell. Brilliant. I think your medic person starts getting healing things.
Healing grenades and
I think I can't remember what the sniper person gets. I think it's the stealth thingy. You start to be able to run around for short periods invisible, which doesn't really solve your problems, only postpones them, I found. Hey, I'm invisible. Oh, my power's running out. Hey, I'm not visible anymore. Not invisible. Oh, dear. So, yeah, and I've written fast self-heal. Everyone gets the R key. That's your rest. And interestingly, that doesn't just pin you to the spot. You can still walk around slowly
and still
shoot. Yeah,
but you don't regenerate energy while it's going on.
Yeah, it's not entirely. I mean, everyone gets a reasonable self-heal. You just need to be able to duck and cover and to be able to use it a bit. So that seemed all right.
I was using that an awful lot.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I should have been using it more. I wouldn't have had much trouble with that robot. But yeah, so once you get through all there, you're out into this dome city thing and into the main world proper lobby thing. And yeah, it did all sort of leave you a bit high and dry, I thought. It wasn't really... Yeah, I mean, there was a push M to join a mission, and that was about all it told you, really. And from there, I mean, the lobby dome place is literally that. It's just a place with shops in and everyone's standing around and no real actual fighting going on. And from there, you can basically... Oh, yeah, you just... You press the M, and up comes the select mission thing. Initially, you're very limited on there.
You're very limited.
You could only do four-person PvE in the low security sectors, which is usually mines, as far as I could tell. In fact, they were all mines. You couldn't do any of the 4v4 random PvP. That had a level requirement. I think the next rank up of PvE content had a level requirement. There's a lot of stuff there that you had to grind your way up to actually do, and that really did start to feel like a bit of a grind, to be honest. You're getting about 900 XP per go at this random pickup 4v4 thing. PvE 4-person thing.
Now, the patch added some solo PvE.
Yeah, I mean, I've written some patch notes about the patch myself a bit further down. I was just absolutely astonished to discover that there was no solo gameplay there at all.
Yeah.
There was nothing. I mean, past the tutorial, I mean, you can keep redoing the tutorial over and over if you like, but every single thing required you to be in a team of four people. It had a joining service. You can join queues and it will try. There was even a tick box to try and make me join a balanced team, presumably a robotics guy, a medic, a recon, and an assault guy. From the time you get out of the tutorial, basically you had to be in a team of four people, and it was all four-player pickup stuff, which I had limited success with.
Yeah.
Some of it worked, some of it didn't. Obviously, you're going to get Muppets in any game, but most people seem to broadly know what you're doing. They didn't seem that complex or challenging missions. You run down a corridor, shoot a few robots, run around a corner, shoot a few more robots, trigger the spawn thing, and get to the end of the corridor, charge through your one-way force field into the boss room, and then just try to take the boss down before you're all killed. And that was it. And these missions had a time limit of 12 minutes, which we didn't need. They'd be over in about 6 minutes generally. And that was it. You just keep repeating this six-minute, four-man random pickup, charge down this corridor into a mine and kill the boss over and over until you leveled up and qualified to be able to do something else.
That's the big problem I had with the game was it was gating me from doing the stuff which I felt the game was promising me.
There was a lot of stuff at the top that seemed interesting. There was this mercenary thing. There's the 4v4 PvP. I mean, I wasn't expecting to be allowed to take part in the AVA conquest stuff.
I was.
Well, that was the sub stuff.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's
about the only bit you need a regular monthly subscription for. And that was the big meta map with the hexes on, and you do various battles to move across this map. But
I was expecting to be let loose to do all of the PvP stuff that were in the non-paying game from the start.
Well, I wonder, was this actually just the whole thing's a free trial and really they're trying to push people into the conquest?
That's a good question.
I don't know, but it just really did seem quite surprising that there was only literally one thing to do.
I was expecting
at level 5.
I was expecting to be able to jump in, have a nice PvP fight with somebody, just like I could on, say, Halo or Call of Duty or something like that. I was expecting it to give a similar experience from the word go.
I think a great many of the, what game modes were there seem to be locked up with this arbitrary and perhaps unnecessary level system. Because the thing is, I didn't notice my stats getting any better as I leveled up. I got to about level 7 or 8 from 5. It dumped you out of the tutorial at level 5, and it took so long to get to level 7.
I know.
So many goes at this 6-minute, 4-man charge down the corridor, blow the boss up over and over. There was a couple of different variants of that map, but it was the same task over and over. And
after the patch, They added the ability to play single player.
Yeah, no, that was interesting. I mean, yeah, I remember being quite surprised, you know, to see that there was absolutely no form of single player game there at all to begin with. And yeah, obviously the Sandstorm patch. I'm sort of read around the subject a little bit, and the Sandstorm patch, this is only phase one that's gone in recently. Yeah. There's a few more bits and pieces to go in, and it seems to be trying to MMO it up a bit. Which previously it really isn't an MMO by almost anyone's definition, to be honest. But they're trying to add a bit more world to it, a bit more persistence. And yeah, one of the most core key features was the ability to try these missions on your own, presumably with appropriately scaled down monsters. Although I didn't notice it. they seemed about as difficult. You just had to take more time to do it.
Yeah, and in that I switched back to more of a pop and shoot. Game style.
Oh, it was total zerging with the four-man thing. Yeah. Because you're in a group with strangers, you don't want to be the one that slows everyone down, so everybody just charges on through. Yeah, you do it in 6 minutes, it gave you a 14-minute allowance or something, and the solo, you can take a bit longer, you can start to use strategy and tactics.
Still got 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, but even then I still managed to do mine in about 8 minutes with the robotics, you know, just largely by dumping turrets and ducking back around the corner, you know.
Yeah.
Which were you playing?
I was playing as a medic.
Medic, right.
And I was having to pop out and shoot, but I could heal myself.
You get massive self-heals as the medic. Yeah.
I was dropping down healing grenades, which put a sphere on the ground, or half sphere, that you stand in and you heal, and I was standing in that shooting, so I was actually tanking quite a lot as well.
With that much self-heal, the medic becomes the tank, I suppose. But were you trying it before this patch in the teams then, as a medic?
I tried a bit in there.
How did that all sort of work for you? Was it just chasing them healing and hoping they did the job?
To be honest, I didn't do an awful lot of healing because no one really needed it.
You had the rifle out as well. Even the medics get a basic rifle.
I was gunning my way through it like everyone else was, basically.
Yeah. It just seemed very limited. Okay, let's have a look. Let's go with my notes. I was keeping track of populations. Now, my metric for this was, you know, there was the transport tubes that let you go to other domes, which are basically just cloned instances of the same area, a bit like in DDO or Guild Wars, we have a drop down list of Lion's Arch 1, Lion's Arch 2. It's the same place, more people spill over into the next one, and you can move between them to meet up with your friends, and it shows you how many people are in each one. So I was basically counting all those up as I was playing.
Yep.
So my first session, I think I worked out there was about 400 players.
Is that not counting people who are actively in a session?
I don't know. I think it does remove you from the hubs to take you off into a mission. So at least 400 players.
These are the milling people.
These are people waiting around because they don't want to do a mission.
Yeah.
Then later on, it dropped to 300, sort of about a week in. And then just after the Sandstorm patch, it was up to 700. So, you know, the population doubled with people presumably who'd gone in there right after launch and thought, awesome, a new game, and then sort of burnt out a bit and are now coming back to see what the deal is.
These are probably respectable numbers. Assuming, take the 400 number.
It's difficult to gauge.
Half people maybe were.
Yeah, it's difficult to gauge how many people playing. Would be actively in instances at the time. So, but yeah, we're not talking a World of Warcraft global success here. I mean, as far as I can tell, that was the entire server network. I mean, you can pick drop downs of North America, Europe, and Pacific Rim. When you go to select an instance, actually for the instance queuing, presumably those are, I don't know, hosted on, is there any hardware difference there, do you think? Or are they,
don't know.
Are they that big an operation that they can only really have one? I don't know if that makes any difference. Presumably you'll be matched with players from your region though, which will help. And to be honest, Europe and Pacific Rim were just totally empty all the time. They never filled, they never populated, so just North American queues only. Let's see what else I've written here. Written no server select. Yeah, you don't have separate worlds here. This is all handled internally through overspill instances.
The good way of doing it.
Yeah. So everyone playing Global Agenda is playing with everyone else playing Global Agenda, and you're not barred by servers. So that's a good decision. I like that. I've written armor scrap spam. Did you ever work the crafting out? I didn't.
No. No, I assumed that I just wasn't getting enough stuff to.
I had a go. There was some sort of mod system there, and I think that got changed in Sandstorm anyway.
I tried it yesterday
and
got no further.
Well, it seemed to be that I was getting loads and loads of bits of type A. but almost no bits of type B, and to make anything you need some A and B.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I don't know what the other item.
Yeah, I don't know what the... So I've got a lot of armour scraps, but not a lot else. I've written Beneath a Steel Sky vibe. I'm just thinking of the visuals of the early cutscenes and tutorial era. I was thinking Beneath a Steel Sky sort of look to it. All the evil corporation, the big towery smokestacks and things. Very good. So it seemed to me to be a world that was quite interesting, but criminally underused. Once you're out of that tutorial, none of it seems to matter a damn, and it just becomes jump about deathmatch maps. There's no sense of lore there, of learning more about what's gone on, who's in charge, what's happening. I mean, what was all that business with the "you're being trained to be my replacement, now I have to kill you," you know, that ninja guy who shows up halfway through the tutorial? What was that all about? And who was that woman on the radio? You know, she never talks to you again. She never writes, never sends flowers. I've written here a bit lost once out.
Yeah.
As soon as you get out of the tutorial, it changes dramatically and suddenly your expectations are all a bit different.
If we compare it to a game like Halo, which has a single player game and a multiplayer game, and the multiplayer game none of that setting stuff up.
Yeah.
It just puts you straight into being able to fight.
You just jump around a multiplayer
match. And
you're
there
shooting.
For the fighting, not there for the
plot. Which I suppose is an appropriate way to deal with the PvP and so on, but for the PvE, I'd have liked to have seen more reasoning for why we were there, what we're doing, that kind of thing. And yeah, the complete, I suppose, bait and switch would be an appropriate term. With the tutorial really does convey an entirely different game to the one you actually are playing.
It was not related at all, really.
No, it sort of just seems totally irrelevant once you're out of the once you reach the dome. Device points I've written here, which and also written gone in SS. That was an interesting system to begin with. You had a total of 16 points which you can allocate around your equipment to rank each piece of equipment between 1 and 4, but you don't have enough points to make all of your pieces of equipment power level 4. So in other words, you have to make a choice of, do I want the gun to be powerful, or the backup devices, or my turrets to be more powerful? You know, you have to sort of juggle your strengths and weaknesses about amongst the equipment you had. And that seemed to have vanished with Sandstorm, and to be replaced with an incremental cash, but you need to go to the shop of your profession and buy the next grade of your gear. Sandstorm seemed to have... Yeah, I'll come to that. They seem to try to work a cash economy into the whole thing, and I never quite understood what cash was for in the first place.
No.
Considering most, they gave you all your gear as you needed it when you levelled, but now they only give you your gear when you... So it just means you have to grind out a bit of cash before you can unlock the skill that you're entitled to for the next level anyway. Don't quite understand what that was all about, really. I've written Arena. Did you not find that?
No, I
that didn't. Was something you could do day one straight away. There's a virtual training arena. It's like the big yellow tube things on one side of the city there. And that was quite interesting. That takes you into just a big dome full of crates and boxes and things with 10 people. I think it was about 10 aside when I was doing it. I think it varies depending on who wants to take part. And literally, as soon as you warp in there, you get automatically assigned to the red or the blue team. And you just warp into the main arena and just jump around, shoot people. And that was interesting. I mean, that was my only taste of PvP, because I hadn't ground out enough levels to be allowed to do the proper PvP.
Yeah.
Which was annoying. But yeah, you can go in this arena at any level, charge around. And I seem to be quite, at least statistically... I mean, yeah, obviously my own cack-handedness and suckage notwithstanding, it seems that every character has the same number of hit points, same basic capabilities, and it's more about now, refinement with the equipment and so on, I suppose.
I feel that the players...
I killed the occasional level 50, usually when they weren't looking at me.
I felt that the players had too many hit points.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't think they had enough.
Well, no, it depends. It goes between the two different play styles of shooters, whether or not it's one where you're grinding people down, or one where you're just killing people again and again and again quickly, which is the Halo model.
Well, this is something that comes up in many MMOs that are originally designed as PvE, but then try and bolt PvP on. And what they find is that they have to artificially increase player versus player hit pointage, because what happens is that most players are set up to do extremely high damage but have very low hit points, compared to most monsters, which are designed the other way around. They won't do a lot of damage, but they have a huge amount of hit points, which means that fights last longer, but you seem powerful because you're doing big
but
numbers.
But if you play something like Halo, Modern Warfare, Gears of War, Killzone, any of those games, it's very much you shoot them a couple of times, they die, and it's very quick, then people respawn.
Well, that's what happens in MMO PvP, because the way that the players have been set up, you end up with players not with low hit points but high damage, yeah, attacking each other and one hitting each other, and everyone gets really annoyed because they're MMO players who are used to fights taking much longer.
But that's the model that first-person shooters thrive on.
Yeah, yeah.
Which it felt a little bit... Yeah. It make the whole combat feel slow to me.
Yeah, I mean, I was really hammering away at people in this dome, and they weren't really dying too much. Eventually they were. And likewise, I lasted much longer than I was expecting to.
Now, I don't know how much your equipment and level...
Yeah,
mattered
it's hard to
there.
Tell from the limited go
but
I had.
Something like Call of Duty, if you're level 1 or if you're level 50, whatever, you both stand just as much chance of killing each other. It's just one of them has more options and slightly better gear, but you can still kill them very easily.
Yeah, yeah. And well, this is how Planetside works, sort of. I mean, with the implants, it gets a bit silly at the top end, but generally, most players are comparable to each other, and it's about variety and flexibility.
And it's vitally important in a game like this that you maintain that. So even somebody who's playing their very first session... can get kills in.
Whereas free-for-all PvP in a traditional MMO ends up with situations where a level 1 can attack a level 50 as much as they like and nothing will happen because they'll just keep constantly getting artificial resists on everything they try and do, or reduction or whatever. I mean, PvP in a standard MMO of the old type, a level 40, you know, 10 level 40s couldn't kill one level 50 just because of the way the maths and numbers work. Whereas... yeah, exactly. Console deathmatch, it doesn't matter who you are, you've got a chance at the shot.
Yeah.
You can potentially win.
Well, not just console deathmatch, first-person shooters on PC as well.
Yeah, yeah. What else have I written here then? Yes, the arena was interesting, and that was actually the other activity I could do.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's changed much with the... I hadn't actually looked at the arena post-Sandstorm, but presumably it's still there, because it didn't seem that broken to begin with. Obviously, you're going to get massive team imbalances sometimes if everyone who gets getting assigned blue leaves or whatever, but generally, free-for-all, go for it. It was quite good fun, actually. I've written soulless here. I don't know what I meant by that.
I know exactly what you meant by it.
Yeah, you know what I mean, don't you? It just felt like, oh, well, I've just got to do this four-man pickup group six-minute mind charge over and over.
It felt functional.
Yeah, you just drop straight into the grind. It didn't seem to have any of the extras. You know what I mean? When you talk about something like Lotro, if you get bored of banging out monsters in Lotro, you can go and do a bit of cooking.
It had no fishing.
Go do some fishing. It didn't have fishing, absolutely. And by fishing, I mean the broad sense of other activities, just things to do.
Something
that
isn't just standing around chatting.
Yeah, you can
stand
around in the lobby.
You can
fight,
you can stand around chat.
Or you can go and do this four-man mission over and over again until you get to, eventually, the point where you can unlock something else to do.
But are you imposing your views on MMOs?
Well, I am an MMO player, yes, but then what does this thing purport to be?
If, say, I was playing Halo 3, I wouldn't be expecting to be able to fish or anything.
No.
All I've got to do there is fight.
Yeah, but then when you're bored of fighting, you'll stop playing Halo 3 altogether and go away
and
do something else.
And also, there's different game modes.
Well, I mean, perhaps these other modes were there, but they seemed to be locked up. It just didn't seem to offer any reason to exist that isn't already covered by any number of Halo 3.
Well, that was my problem.
Why is this game here?
The game was
expecting it to have more in the way of MMO features. Yeah, persistence, downtime activities, other things.
My entire time in the game was, from the moment I was level 5 first time, got to play stuff, my thought was, why am I playing this? Why am I not playing Battlefield Bad Company 2? Why am I not playing Call of Duty? Why am I not playing any of these other games which do it better?
Yeah, and that sounds really harsh.
I don't have the territory control bit, but I'm not allowed to play with that anyway at the moment.
No. Well, for starters, I think you can't, as a solo player, get involved in that without joining an alliance.
Yeah.
They call them agencies, but they're effectively guilds, yeah.
So I'd have to pay money to find out if I liked that.
And also join a guild of people who you don't really know just to have a go, yeah. Seems odd, yeah.
Yeah.
By soulless, I suppose I mean very quickly I got to the point where I thought, well, no, I've just done that, I've got to do it again.
Yeah.
I think I did about three in a row at the most, and I couldn't.
Yeah,
I
was desperately trying
again.
To level, because I wanted to hit level 10 and look at this star.
Well, I think level 8 was when the PvP or mercenaries and something like that starts, and but I just didn't get there.
I couldn't. the experiences to get there were just not good enough. And, people can validly say, yeah, you didn't put in the 20 hours needed to get to this.
Yeah,
but
if you're not... I just couldn't imagine doing 20 hours of the same four-player pickup group, six-minute charge down a mine and blow the boss up over and over again.
If your game isn't fun from the word go and you need to play 20 hours to have fun in it and you can't judge the game in that 20 hours, your game sucks.
It's the old MMO defense, isn't it? Oh, it gets better.
No, screw that. It should be good from the start. I shouldn't be forced to put up with rubbish experience before I can have the good stuff.
If I have to play 20 hours to know if it's good or bad, it's bad.
Yeah.
Try it for 20 hours, you might like it.
The game get brilliant after 20 hours.
A lot of single player games are that long in total.
I don't care at that stage. You've lost me. I've not put in that 20 hours in with rubbish.
Yeah, okay. I've written free respec there, I think. I'm not quite sure. Maybe it just bugged. Glitched out and didn't spend my points properly. Yeah, they got the talent trees, which presumably is a reason to be leveling up to 50. That's about one of the only reasons I could think of that they needed levels at all. But perhaps to balance you against certain better gear. But the thing is, it's all instanced. Well, at present, it's all instanced. Anyway, I'll come to that in a minute. But why do you need levels? Why do you need an abstract number of levels? What, level 20?
Progress.
Level 24, you're still going to go into an instance that's tailored full of plus one monsters with the occasional plus two or three boss.
That's assuming you're just doing the PvE stuff.
Well, but then the levels, if it's designed in any kind of sane manner at all, don't affect your PvP stats either. So, it just seemed, it seemed like it was throwing all sorts of MMO elements in there in a really ill-advised fashion
throwing MMO stuff at me that I didn't want. I wanted it to be simpler.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be what it promised, what it had the promise to be. I didn't care about the rubbish. I wanted the shooter. I wanted the fun.
Yeah, and I
didn't need the rest of the stuff to keep me interested.
I love the look and feel of it all. These brightly coloured sci-fi space troopers. Well, they're all agents of sorts, aren't they? The whole footing's a covert ops hit squad type of thing rather than giant armies. But it had that sort of planet side look and feel to it. It did remind me of Tabula Rasa as well a bit. And I'd love to have a good old romp in a universe like that. It seemed a very thin veneer. There wasn't much below it.
It seemed like the game lacked the conviction of the devs to say, yes, we have a good game here. We can stand behind what we have as a shooter. And we will stand by that gameplay and don't need all the extra stuff to keep people interested.
Yeah, it seemed quite an uncomfortable matchup of elements from first-person shooter and MMO that didn't really gel together. I don't know. I've got achievements I've written there. Did you find the achievements window in your character stuff?
I did, yes.
There was two achievements, both of which you gained 1 point for doing a mission, and when you got 5 points, you got the achievement, and that was it.
Yeah.
It didn't seem to contribute. I don't know. I had an achievement rank 2. I don't know what that means.
No.
Or if anyone cares. Perhaps that's visible to other players. They can see how much you've done this stuff. Don't know. Okay, so I've written Sandstorm under a big crossed-out line here, because, about... Was it Thursday?
Yeah.
They basically did this massive patch. The first of a series of patches collectively called Sandstorm, which is attempting to change the game considerably to make it, more MMO-like, I suppose. So the bits we saw there, I've written solo added! which, I don't know, it seems like a massive... turnaround, doesn't it?
It does.
A significant thing that should have either been there or from the start or just not.
Yeah, it should either be there or not be there.
Yeah,
and I would have said to have added it at
1.3. How long has it been out on Global Agenda?
A couple of months,
I suppose. Yeah. And it's, I don't know. Well, yeah, that's good. Because I was sat there for quite a few minutes sometimes waiting on a queue for number 4 to join our little pickup group.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even hitting the join a balanced group box.
Well, I think
it could be possible. It just strikes me as fundamentally flawed. Yes, it's an MMO. Yes, it's an online experience. Yes, it's multiplayer. But there should never be a situation where you are stopped from playing because there isn't a fourth person to fill up your team.
Yeah.
Because you should be able to join with three people or whatever. There should be some kind of solo. Well, obviously, the main reason for the game is the multiplayer, but...
Yeah.
If you haven't got enough people to join...
Start with a 3v3.
I don't know. Yeah, whatever. But just the idea that at 1.3 they've added any kind of solo gameplay at all just seems a bit... Yeah, seems quite bizarre, really. But it's there now. It did work. I used my level 7 robotics... guy and charged down a corridor and blew up a guy at the end of the mine. You know, it's the same content that the four-man stuff was, but you're just allowed to start it with one player. Presumably the stats might be toned down a bit to make it soloable, but I don't know.
Two things. First thing I did was I started up the mission in the solo mode, jumped out of the dropship, started running off, realised I hadn't equipped any weapons because it had unequipped them all.
Dull.
And the second thing I noticed...
I saw that coming. I equipped everything in the dome.
And the second thing I noticed was it was not rendering the floor at this point.
Oh. I didn't see
that. It started rendering the floor again after a little while.
Oh, you had an invisible floor?
I had an invisible floor for a while.
I didn't see that at all myself. So
but it went away on the same mission. After a couple of... Well, less than a minute, I think, the floor had appeared.
Yeah, strange.
It was a bit odd.
Okay, I've written UI reworks. They jiggered all the UI elements about, and that was quite confusing as well. I've written Conquest, now AVA. Everyone in game was calling it AVA previously, so perhaps they've just adapted the term. Was the mercenary thing there before? I can't remember.
I can't say.
It was one of the PvP variants. As far as I could tell from the rolling videos that it shows you for each map, there's a variety of different... I think they're 2v2, where you've got a set series of control points knocking about in these maps, and if you can hold two out of the three for X amount of time. It reminded me a lot of some of the Guild Wars type of games that they put in now and then. That's a change then. Yeah, you got the patch notes.
I pulled up the patch notes. I thought that'd be a good idea.
Mercenary PvP, in order to improve match fairness, the maximum team size for mercenary PvP is now 2. Previously 4, larger teams should play in the 10v10 arena PvP queue. Interesting. So 2-man teams instead of 4. What, to increase fairness? I don't quite understand.
I don't know. Without having seen how they were on.
Well, the basic problem here was that I didn't get to level 8 to be able to have a look at this stuff. So I have no idea really what mercenary is about. But the rolling videos that they showed for each type of match looked interesting. I wouldn't have minded having a go, but you know, I've still got to bang out my requisite 30 or 40 charge down the mineshaft, blow up the boss at the end runs to do before I can get on those. I've written cash item economy ? Suddenly these profession shops all appeared.
Yeah.
With a huge list of ranked level things that you need to buy each level to be able to use your abilities.
Oh, the achievement system's gone away.
So you're skipping through the patch notes there. I've written hairdresser. Yes, very important. I can see that's one of the reasons why the game wasn't as popular as it could have been. They've now correctly added the missing hairdresser. For 50,000 credits, you can change your hairstyle. I only earned about 2,000 credits in my entire time there, and that was after quite a few missions. You only get about 500 credits per mission, so you have to do, 100 missions before you can change your hairstyle, which seemed a little overpriced to me, frankly. And they had a similar reconstruct your face merchant there as well, just letting you redo character creation basically. I've written loot, level 23, me level 7.
I was getting some rubbish loot I couldn't use.
You damned you as well.
I
went through and did this solo thing, charged through, I'm level 7, got to the end, killed the boss behind the glowy force field at the end of the mine, and it gives me a level 23 repair arm, which I won't be able to equip for another considerable number of levels, 16 I believe, and I can't see me fighting through 16 levels of charging down the mine shaft, killing the boss at the end. This was brilliant. This made my day. I've written profanity filter character name ? What? In city chat, the profanity filter kicked in on someone's character name as it came up on the chat window. The name itself, not what they said.
I would imagine you want to run that on the character creator stage.
Yeah,
maybe.
That was brilliant. You obviously are not using the same systems or any system at all on character creation. I had not seen that at all. I thought that was quite charming. So that's the end of my notes. Do you want to add anything to that? Because with your own impressions,
it comes down to the fact that I do have quite a few shooters. I'm not great at them, but I do actually enjoy the shooters
online. This is something that always annoyed me about PlanetSide, is that for years I could never tell if I was rubbish or whether something about PlanetSide's engine was not good. And I was never felt confident enough to point at PlanetSide's weird cone of fire system and say, that's rubbish compared to whatever else, because I'm rubbish at those too. So my own first-person shootery ineptitude is capable of masking an awful lot of bad things in badly implemented first-person shooter system, so perhaps your impressions are more accurate and better.
Well, I can only really judge it against a console shooter, because I really haven't played PC shooters for a long time, because I got fed up with them being so unfair because I wasn't good enough, which console shooters have addressed and fixed. They've made it so, you know, the shooting system means that
they need to give players a reason to keep playing even after they've lost, and that's always been the thing with any kind of PvP. Yeah. If it's absolutely crushing to lose the first time, you're going to go away and you're not going to come back.
Yeah, and
which, you know, which is, results in massively low numbers. It results in a Trammel for Lucas split. It results in mockery of Darkfall. You know, I mean, it results in 80% of all Eve players never leaving Empire Space.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, you need something. You need to give the loser something.
Now, the thing is, when you look at the game, you've got the shooting people with guns.
Yeah.
That is the main gameplay.
It seems
everything
so,
else is gravy.
You got various support roles, drop turrets, kill people, etc.
Yeah, but that's funny. Yeah, I should do guns with other stuff.
It's you and a guy. I don't know what those melee weapons were about. But
you've got the territory control game.
Yeah, that did seem interesting.
Apparently it's free at the moment because the subscriptions aren't in.
Oh, right. I see. They're letting everyone try. This is.
I don't think they've ever started charging subscriptions yet.
Really?
From what I can tell from this.
So this is a sort of rolling beta while they test this stuff out on the existing players.
This patch is big enough for them to have deleted all existing weapons and given people cash instead. When it went out. Major changes.
Yeah. There's a lot. I mean, yeah, clearly. I mean, obviously, the usual caveat. We've only played it on briefly for a few hours over 2 weeks. There's obviously a lot more subtlety here than we think. But even so,
nobody is going to be playing the game because of the territory control gameplay. That is not the main draw.
I don't know.
The main draw is the shooting people playing.
I don't know. For me, when I come to a project like this, which purports to perhaps be something of an MMO FPS. You know, the idea of persistence becomes quite important. I mean, that's why they charge a monthly for that element of
That's not the minute-by-minute gameplay that you're finding fun. It's the shooting people having the battles.
Yeah, to be fair, you're there. Yeah, when I play PlanetSide, it's about the base fights, not the overall
And
map.
It's nice having this, seeing who's winning or whatnot, but I don't think that's going to be a draw for many people at all, because...
Not if the core gameplay's done.
Not doing the core gameplay. And so I was finding it incredibly hard to be motivated to play the game.
If you're not actually enjoying the shooting of robots or people with the guns.
Compared to the other examples I have, which admittedly all have an incredibly large budget, massive development teams, way bigger than Hi-Rez Studios' resources. There's, you know, stuff coming out from Sony or Microsoft or EA
DICE,
or Activision.
Bungie, whatever.
If I want the large scale fights, I have available to me Mag on the PS3, which...
Does that have an element of beyond that match persistence?
Not really. Well, there's levelling up and stuff. It's only character persistence.
But no global map going one way or the other.
There was also Battlefield Bad Company. There's all those games, and they all just seem to be a more fun minute-to-minute experience to me than... Global Agenda, because of the design of Global Agenda's first-person shooter bit.
This is interesting. I came away with something of a different feel for it all. I mean, for me, the moment-to-moment shooting, it needs to be good, but it's not the be-all or end-all. I'm an MMO player, and I like the extras, the side things, the lore, the backstory, the questing. Yes, I know it's a stupid thing in a sci-fi universe, but missions, call them that, and whatever. It just seemed to me, I don't know, generally a game that was perhaps just not finished. It seemed like it was missing a lot of stuff, and I just got the impression that perhaps Hi-Rez had put out what they had already because something needs to be
This
launched.
Patch tells me that's what happened.
And I, looking at what they've put in here and what they plan to do with the rest of this Sandstorm stuff, I think... did you see on the mission screen after Sandstorm, there were two grayed out options. One called Raids.
Yes.
Which suggests multi-group large-scale combat, which is such an MMO thing. And the other one was called War Zones, which says to me open world, explorable world,
quite possibly,
areas
yeah.
full of monsters. You just go that would
be
shoot
interesting.
Up. And it just seemed to me that those two things, amongst others, were absolutely fundamental to what I thought it was meant to be, an MMO. Yeah, perhaps most of its players and most of its, you know, most of its defenders and most of its people who like it won't agree it's an MMO at all. They don't want it to be an MMO. They don't think it's an MMO, and that's fine. If that's not what it is, then it unfortunately just becomes something of a subpar.
Okay.
Team-based shooter, doesn't it? I mean, I wanted to like the game. I liked the setting. I liked the idea. I liked the brightly coloured suits and the roles and all the equipment and everything. It really did sort of appeal to me.
Do you
but
know
it
what
just
it
didn't deliver?
No. Do you know what I came away thinking?
Yeah.
I can't wait to get hold of Dust.
It came.
I came away thinking Dust is going to do this right. If
you reckon?
They, well. Dust hopefully will
Dust,
do this
of course,
right.
Anyone who doesn't know is the EVE Online yeah. Shanghai Studios
that's
first
their
person
first person shooter in the
which will
EVE
tie
world.
Into the EVE universe
now yeah. I came out thinking right the graphics engine on Global Agenda okay Dust I believe is using Unreal which you know a lot of the an awful lot of major games uses nowadays
yeah, yeah.
So you can expect a certain amount of graphical fidelity. It's a console shooter, so just to compete in that space, it's going to have to be a good shooter.
Anything else, like you say.
So I've got a certain amount of optimism that they realise this.
Yeah, if the actual shooting people with the gun bit isn't fun, then everything else hangs off of that, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I came out away from Global Agenda thinking, I don't want to grind my way up through this game. I do not want to put the time into it. I hope Dust does better.
Partly I was looking at this as podcast material, you know, something I have to do to get done for
the
time of the podcast.
This wasn't a game that either of us went to fair enough to
well,
say,
I
want to, this is my new big game. I'm really excited about this game. Which
I was quite excited
perception.
Initially. I thought, hey, this might be interesting. Because we're talking a lot about APB, aren't we? And I came away from this thinking I'm worried about APB.
Because
this APB is one we're sort of thinking about going to with our Lotro Monday group and,
for 50 hours tops.
Well, we'll see. I mean, we will definitely see if the problems we've seen here are translated across into APB as well, because I think they are I think they're genre pitfalls. I don't think they're particular implementation things High Res have done wrong. I think this is something about the whole concept and the whole premise that doesn't quite click and something that ultimately did kill Tabula Rasa.
Okay, can you from this game pick any features that you found which other games would do well to take?
I'd have to think hard.
I think I did
like the device side, the idea of the device system where you had X amount of points which you dynamically spend, which is, I suppose, a bit like Guild Wars' attributes. You can only be good in some things, but you can reallocate what that is.
It's like
between
the old Ultima Online and Original Galaxies model, really.
No. That was the talent. No, I mean between individual missions,
but no.
You can rejig it.
Rejigging it.
It's a lot like Guild Wars attributes, actually. You spend points in a particular areas and you're good at those, but not very good at the things you didn't spend points in.
Yeah.
You don't have enough points to be great at everything.
Yeah.
I like that idea. I did like the world, the look and the feel. Certainly what was hinted at in the tutorial
about
what went
yeah.
on and what's going on and who's in charge and who am I. And
you would like to play a single-player game in that world.
Yeah, it had a lot of promise as a single-player story game. I just thought, well, yeah, how about another 30 or 40 hours of this, of running around shooting stuff freeform, punctuated by interesting cutscene developments along this lines, because the world seemed interesting. I liked where the story was going, what limited story was shown in the tutorial. So, what would you take away as
the combat?
You thought the combat
was not world class first person shooter combat.
It's not bad,
but
no.
It's miles ahead of nearly every other MMO.
Oh yeah, I mean certainly you weren't two guys standing in a field waving arms at each other until someone dies. You know,
the combat can be done.
Yeah. It was. I'd love to see that kind of first personicity added to more games.
Yeah.
DDO does it very well. At present, Tabula Rasa had a damn good go at it.
And there was
a lot of games out there, where you are just two marionettes standing in a field opposite each other with about 2 foot apart, waving arms and rolling dice, and that's just no good anymore.
No,
in any game, I'm starting to think.
We've done that, fine.
Border.
Move
that.
On.
Yeah.
I also liked the lack of line after line of special abilities.
Yes.
Just equipping.
Nice, simple, limited hotbar. But then if you're going to go down this first-person shooter route, and I think this is something DDO does badly, is that you can only really cope with two or three button presses if you're also aiming and firing first-person shootery.
This is might be a
Tabula Rasa had about eight of them. I found that too many.
This might be a bit contentious, but I would say that combat in MMOs, the more options you have, the more they're distracting you from the combat.
Well, yeah. If you give someone 50 hotkeys, then about 48 of them are going to be the wrong thing to press for any given moment. Whereas, why not keep it down to really pared down to the basics,
and
useful stuff.
Yeah, although I was comparing Global Agenda to...
You're going
to
get me ranting AAA, about Fable 2 in a minute.
AAA games.
Yeah.
It is still the best combat I've played in an MMO.
I think it shows a fantastic amount of promise, and I'm encouraged by what I've seen with the Sandstorm, but the basic moment-to-moment point-and-shoot of it all needs to be optimised or improved somehow.
I have a warm feeling with the Sandstorm process that they might make a really good game out of this.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps not based... I wouldn't look at it even based on what they've added with this. They're calling this Sandstorm Phase 1. I'd want to wait until the whole Sandstorm thing's deployed.
I just feel that the...
And then
what
have
they're addressing
look,
in this
another go.
Is stuff that I had major problems in. My review of it on Wednesday, it would have been a lot harsher than it is today.
Yeah. I think they're perhaps aware of a lot of what we've been ranting about and perhaps working on. I mean, they've added DirectX 10 support to this build as well. Perhaps that'll help with frame rates and all the rest of it.
I'm going to keep an eye on this, I think.
I think this is one to keep an eye on and come back to.
Yeah.
I mean, as like you say, if we'd have done this show on Wednesday, things would have gone a lot worse for it, I think. But I'm encouraged. I want to see where it goes.
And it may be really unfair for me to compare it against other games aren't
top-notch AAA shooters.
Yeah.
But then that's the arena they're trying to draw customers from, I imagine. Yeah. They're trying to appeal to people who are bored of... I mean, have you seen we don't do elves, big campaign PR stuff. Yeah, fine, you don't do elves, but there's more to making a contemporary cutting-edge sci-fi shooter than just not having elves in it,
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. You still have ridiculous melee weapons.
Yep.
Yeah. Take the elves out, fine, but what's with this giant broadsword power axe thing? Yeah.
So,
anyway... Yeah,
if they got rid of the grind completely,
I would be
happy.
It seems fundamental to what they're trying to do. I mean, this patch they rejigged it all so that
they
you have
need to
buy.
I don't think they need to have a grind.
But then you've got to keep people playing for long periods of time, which is always the defence of the grind.
Yeah,
isn't it?
But that's sort of encouraging them to play, not giving them a game which. It's fun to play.
To be honest, I bounced off it when it became apparent how many times I'd have to do that same mission over and over
here.
Again.
If that wasn't there, I would probably have bought the box.
It needs more interesting things to do.
Yeah.
Right from the word go as well. Not just, if you put your 20 hours in, if you do this mission 50 times, then something interesting will open up.
If it was just giving me standard drop-in, have fun for an hour when I wanted it experience, which I wouldn't have to grind, then... They would have a customer, but they don't, and so they don't.
Well, I'm going to keep it installed. I mean, we can keep playing indefinitely as much as we like. It'll cap us at level 15.
I don't see that as a problem at this stage.
I don't see myself ever getting there this year, let alone...
Unless they seriously change the levelling.
Unless it changes significantly, but perhaps in one day, one distant, sunny future day, I'll get to level 8 and be able to unlock this mercenary thing and have a go at some of the organised PvP, but... Until then, I think I'm going to put this one on hold and let them get on with their Sandstorm. Hopefully that'll change the game for
the better.
Let's
have a look
at
a couple
of
phases.
Yeah. So, summing up in a sentence?
Potential makes me hope Dust is better.
Missing a lot. Can't wait to see it finished.
Yes.
Right. So then, you wanted to do a little topic-y snippet, even though we've given up topics.
Well, this was somebody said they couldn't do an hour on Global Agenda.
What were you doing?
An hour.
Oh, okay. Well, perhaps we ought to...
No. Okay. Nobody would do this.
Long show, then everyone settle down.
Yep.
This all came about... Largely, this is the Twitter question been hijacked by Turbine, frankly. We were all doing our Twitter question, and then suddenly Turbine going, oh, by the way, Lotro's free to play.
Yeah, tactical nuclear strike of a... big.
Suddenly, no one was interested in t-shirts and
now
our Twitter question.
I'm not being paranoid about this. Everyone drops big news on a Friday.
Well, it's the day of the week you do it, I suppose, yeah.
I think that gives you a weekend for all the journalists to call off.
So, first of all, do we think Turbine are listening to our show and paranoid that we're about to leave?
No.
Right, let's get that out of the way. Okay, so, yeah, the deal is...
If anyone from Turbine is listening, hello.
Do you want to dig out while I fill? Do you want to dig out the little table that details what all their new options are?
Yeah.
Essentially, what they're planning to do from this fall, which whenever you take that to mean precisely...
I was sort of thinking September.
Yeah, they're going to rejig LOTRO entirely to work in a similar manner to the way Dungeons & Dragons Online currently works, which is their big revamp after they went free to play as well. You now have three tiers of membership to LOTRO in full.
Yep.
There is the free player, which is basically anyone who can be bothered to download it and connect.
Yep.
Give them an email address, away you go. Pay them nothing. You've got your premium player. Now, to become a premium player from a free player, you need to have bought something with Turbine points from their shop.
You just need to have spent some points.
Anything at all. This happened to me in DDO without me even realising it. I bought one adventure pack. Bing! I'm no longer a free player. I'm an interested party. I'm a premium player. Beyond that is the VIP.
So they've changed all the details.
They call it VIP, but this is basically subscriber. This is what everyone who currently plays LOTRO already is.
If you pay your monthly or are a lifetime subscriber, you are a VIP.
Lifetimers are covered as VIPs as well. Premium players include are also VIPs who cancel their sub.
Yeah.
So normal subscribers who decide to hang up sub, they don't become free players. They only go down one grade to premium player because they've given Turbine money some... Yeah, it's given Turbine some money in the past. So it's all a little bit confusing. Then they've introduced this Turbine points thing.
Not transferable
They're
with
not
DDO.
They're not the same as DDO points.
No.
Interesting. So two different sorts of Turbine points available.
I'm going to have 7 bazillion Turbine points when it starts due to the reward system they're doing.
Yeah, VIP players get X number of points per month as part of their
package.
Yeah,
500 points per month.
Yep.
Now the question is, can we spend these to buy the expansion? If we buy nothing all year, could we get the expansion for free?
I don't know, because DDO don't do a box expansion. So there's no precedent.
Are LOTRO ever going to do a box expansion? Because when we look at it, their last expansion wasn't.
And it's sort of, and this is good because it basically turns their entire expansion program into digital download in-game upgrades, which you can administer through the points. Perhaps you'll be able to buy whatever the big expansion
volume 4
or whatever is using these points.
I also expect we're going to lose the big expansions, and they're just going to be like the book updates before.
Yeah.
And it's going to get a lot smaller and a lot more...
Do you want to run through the table? It's quite a big table. Settle in, everyone.
Right, okay.
Here's what you get, then.
All people get free world access.
Okay, there's an asterisk there, but I'll come to that in a minute. By world access, that means you'll be able to get to every zone you like in the game.
Except for... get to Moriah, you have to pay for Moriah. To get to Mirkwood, you have to pay for Cedar
The standing... expansion gateways will still exist. In other words, you won't be able to go into Mines of Moriah unless you bought Mines of Moriah.
Yeah.
You won't be able to go into Mirkwood unless you bought the Siege of Mirkwood expansions.
So it does appear that the premium and free players get access to all of the lands.
Yeah, well, you're not free player, because your free player will not have bought any expansions.
Except for that.
The act of buying an expansion makes you a premium player, I think.
All of the original...
It's very confusing.
Yeah, no, it does. Buying an expansion makes you a premium.
Yeah.
But
so if
we ignore the expansions for now and just go by the original 1 to 50 game, which was the original game, you get access to all of those lands, including the ones that they added as patches.
Angmar,
but
Eregion as well, I think. No, not Eregion. Eregion.
But you only get out of the box, out of the virtual free box, Eridluin, the Shire, and Breeland quests. So only the three starter areas.
This is interesting. It seems to me they're trying what DDO currently do, which is to bundle up whole quest series and lines into little adventure packs, which you then pay points for to unlock. If you're a VIP, you'll have access to all of them all the time for free anyway, because you're already paying a monthly, whereas the premium player has the option of deciding that, actually, all this crap in Forage Shell is just fetch and carry nonsense. I am not going to buy this part of it.
Yeah.
So, I think this is a bit of an incentive to make them up their game on some of the compelling content a bit.
Yeah.
Because people can now choose to optionally not bother with whole zones of quest content.
Yep. Now, you get access to all four races and all seven original classes.
Everyone can be all races. Everyone can be Runekeepers and Wardens as well as the basics. No?
No.
No, classes seven.
The premium classes still have the same pay gate they've always had.
Yeah, you can only be a Runekeeper or Warden if you've got Mines of Moria.
Yeah, which is, that is the same as it's always been a paygate.
Does this table have enough dimensions?
Right. Level cap is 50 for them all.
Yeah, because your level cap is tied to which expansions you bought.
But if you bought the expansions, then... So free player will only ever be level 50, because the moment you buy your level cap increase, you can be a premium player... By default.
You need to buy Mines of Moriah for 60 and Shadows of Mirkwood for 65. Yeah.
Yep. Character slots. A free player only gets one per server. Not very good for alting, but you can buy more.
Yeah, this is in addition to... But then the acts of that
but
makes
if you buy
premium.
One, if you buy one more, then you get to the premium who have three per
premium.
Server, which you can then buy more.
Oh, it's...
And if you're a VIP, you get five per server, which is the same as now, and you can buy more.
You get
more.
Extra two per... I've got seven slots. I think I've got nine, actually, because of the two expansions.
I've got whatever came with the expansions and whatever I got with the adventure pack.
Well, that's going to be interesting. So if you're a free player, you can't alt, effectively.
No.
You get one character, and that's it. But that's more than enough. To be honest, my Guardian is level 65, and I've only bothered starting doing my Burglar seriously because I've capped one.
Yep.
So personally, I wouldn't see that as a problem, one character.
Now we get into the limiting features.
Yeah.
Inventory. Mm-hmm. At the moment, we've got five bags and can have all the cash we want.
Yes,
that's as paid players.
Yeah.
Each bag
has what? Three rows of six, about 18 slots in
something
each
like
bag.
That, yeah. A free player has three bags and can have two gold, but they can pay to increase both those things.
Yeah.
The pay with turbine points.
Yeah.
Which will make them
a premium player.
Yeah.
Strange.
A premium player has three bags and five gold, and you can pay to purchase more.
Right, well, that bags is going to be absolutely unplayable because I've got the full set of bags and I still never have room for everything.
One thing I would love to see is a can purchase more on the inventory for the VIP players, please.
I remember ages and ages ago you asked, doing a direct appeal on this show for that. I will pay you 20 quid for another bag. Something stupid like that.
Yeah, I still mean that, Turbine, if you're listening.
That gold's interesting, though, because five gold is not enough to buy a player house.
A premium player can pay cash to get that cap removed.
Yeah. Which might be one or two things you definitely would want to do.
So
you can't get a player house with five gold. They're all about seven to buy up front.
So
I think the horses are probably getting on for that. I don't know. No, the horses I think are below four, that, but probably not two gold. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that is quite
limiting. Will have to pay some money to get that content, and you will want to remove that gold cap and increase your bag space.
Yeah.
So
those are
if you don't want to pay a monthly fee and play, you want to do those.
Those are both definitely worth paying a bit extra for, those things, because they do significantly matter.
There's a priority login thing. If you're a paid subscriber, you get priority.
Have you ever been able to log into
Lokshow? I don't see this being a problem.
No,
and
neither.
That's
although now you're going to suddenly the Shire is going to be full of freeloading level one hobbits all stealing the pies.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, I think this might get a bit busy as people come and have a look at this.
It's quite possible, yeah.
But, yeah.
Chat is unlimited for us and limited for everyone else. You can only tell every so often. You don't get access to all the chat.
Yeah, so premium free players. Those look like anti-gold spam measurements.
Yeah, they will be.
They limit you to one tell every 5 seconds or something.
Auction house... the freebie people is limited access to it. You can buy and bid, but you can't post without buying something to allow you to post the auctions. That's probably a gold spammer thing.
Yeah.
Mail, again, limited in some way. Rest XP.
Ooh,
only the paid subscribers get rest XP.
That's contentious.
I don't know. I think rest XP is an aberration that shouldn't belong in games anyway, because it's just admitting that you've got a grind.
Yeah, I think this is probably another topic.
But saying that, it's quite useful because it's managed to level me.
I've never run out of rest XP playing 4 hours a week.
Are you still accruing rest XP?
No. Now you've level cap. When you level cap,
it just
all goes away. But my alts are getting rest XP, I think. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a system that's designed to encourage you to get through the game quicker.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's such a great loss, really.
Shared bank. It's purchasable for everyone. Now, I have a shared bank already.
That's your adventure pack.
Yeah, I got it through the adventure pack. And at the moment,
I don't have one of these.
I've got so many slots in it, I could buy another 30, I think, on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually very useful because it gave me more bank space.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to buy that now without going through the adventure pack.
Yeah.
Skirmishes. Right, we've got to remember that there's the base skirmishes and the Mirkwood skirmishes.
Uh-huh.
So when you buy Mirkwood, you get those ones.
That's some extra ones you unlock through the plot.
We have 9 of them at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else has 4, but they can buy individual skirmishes.
What do I mean by that? Is that the number? Oh, you buy them as packs.
You'll be able to unlock skirmishes.
Yeah.
Legendary items all need Mariah. Don't have to pay anything else.
Yeah.
Traits. We get all.
Ooh. They're gimping traits.
Yeah.
On the
one or
account.
Two slots per trait type can purchase more.
There's 4 types, is there? 3? 4 if you count legendaries. You get the virtue ones. Then there's the race ones. And then there's the class ones, and there's some legendary ones as well. So yeah,
you'll want to unlock those as
well. Those go up to about, you get about 6 of each of those normally, and you're only allowed one or two.
Yep, you're going to have to unlock those if you want to play properly.
I think if you're getting near the top of the game and you want to get involved in group content, then you will need that. You will need those unlocked.
Well, no, it's stuff like my combat res is a trait.
Yeah, some of them are actually skills.
Yeah,
significant that one. Yeah.
Crafting, we all get tier 1 to 5, but crafting guilds...
No, tier 6 crafting is Moria locked.
Yeah. Yes, so you have to pay to get that.
For everyone.
1 through 5 for everyone, you have to get 6 by getting Moria.
Mm-hmm.
And the crafting guilds is limited for the free players, but you can pay money to get them.
Oh, that's interesting, because you can only join one at a time at present anyway. Does that suggest that after this, VIP people can be members of more than one? If it looks like they're going unlimited.
I don't know, I hope so.
I think that's a buff, that is, for
if that's true, then that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Housing, everyone's got it available, although good luck getting it
you'll need 7 Uber gold freebie in your pocket.
Oh, yeah, but it's less for the small house, isn't it?
No. That is the small house, I think.
Are you sure? No.
That's 1 gold. Oh, I just remember it being really high at the time. So free players can still get the basic house.
Unlimited music. Unlimited hobbies.
Music. They had to clarify music.
Yeah.
ABC files and such like.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Please, can we lock that only to the subscribers?
And the hobbies. Well, there's
hobbies
only one
unlimited.
Hobby in the game. They still haven't added anything else in the hobbies tab. It's just fishing. They need to get on and add more hobbies.
We all get unlimited cosmetics.
That's your 2 slots of wearables, one which you pass level 20.
Yeah. And now there's a wardrobe.
Wardrobe.
Which
that's new. Yeah.
Everyone can buy, but we get 20 slots of it for free. Which
presumably that's just a special bank box.
It's somewhere to put your cosmetics.
I know. My house bank is mostly full of those.
Yeah.
The various festival outfits and so on.
Now,
because you don't want to throw them out because you can't use them again. You can't reapply them.
I'm going to want to use my pirate eye patch again.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Now, I do hope that we can put armour in there as well. But I doubt it.
I don't think that'll
crack. It'd be nice if you could. And it'd be nice if we could
switch. You put armour in your bank now, you've freed up about 40 slots of cosmetic.
Okay. Destiny points.
I've never used mine. I always save them in case I need them.
Yeah. Well, everyone can earn them, but only we can spend them.
Can earn but cannot spend. Well, presumably they become spendable when you upgrade or unlock. Yeah.
Monster play?
Yep.
Only we get it. No, I don't like that. I think that the
is that
creep
as
side...
As a monster, or in total, either side? Basically, is the Etin Moors off limits entirely, or does it just mean...
Do you want to go to the Etin Moors below level 50?
No, Etimors is so irrelevant to most players.
I think that the monster play bit should be available to even the free players. So everyone could be a monster.
But subscribers can go there as freeps.
Yeah. It would increase the numbers, I
think. I
don't
know what that means, actually. But it just says not available for the non-VIPs.
Community features, unlimited for everyone apart from the main freebies.
Is that
My Locho and other products we don't get.
Because
we're in Europe. Yeah. And customer service, we get full premiums, get 30, and the free people
get go read a website, noob.
Yeah.
Mm, self-service online, it says. It's basically Wiki it. Mm. Yeah, interesting. I mean, it's interesting that they've clarified also what happens when you upgrade and downgrade. For example, if your character is in the wrong slot and you downgrade, it becomes made unavailable. Basically, your first two characters in the list will be left available to you if you downgrade to premium from VIP, which can be a problem. So things like, if I've got more than 5 gold when I downgrade, what happens? Apparently some of your gold is made unavailable.
It's still there, but you just can't access it.
Yeah, you'll be able to get it back if you upgrade again. So it's interesting. I mean, just sort of stepping back and thinking of it as a whole. I mean, I saw you tweeting, this signals the death of the subscription MMO.
It does, I think.
You think it does?
I think it does.
It seems increasingly prevalent. Well, and this is a real big one. I didn't think they'd need to do this or would ever do this. Yeah. This is basically...
And I said the subscription-only MMO.
Subscription only. So clarify, the
subscriptions are still here for you mugs who don't have the lifetime.
Yeah.
But you could, what they've done is they've massively increased the ease of entering the game for other people, and for people just coming back to think, oh yeah, I fancy a little bit of Lotro.
Effectively means that we can never quit Lotro.
No, I can't. Anyway.
We can downgrade our accounts. Only way not I actually use it. Only but way we will I still be relevant.
I can't.
Still be
I can't even downgrade my account.
No, you're a lifetime. Yeah. You're different.
Lifetime is looking incredibly good, even with this.
Well, basically, nah. But everyone's a lifetime now.
No, they're not.
Just some people don't get as much stuff for it, and some people haven't paid as much for it.
Everyone's got access to the free trial, effectively.
You think? That's a very big free trial.
You're not
going
to get very far without needing to pay cash.
For 50 level free trial of an unlimited duration.
You're not getting 50 levels out of the starter areas. You'll hit level 20 and then cap out of XP.
The thing I'm most interested in seeing is how they divvy up these quest packs. Yeah. This corresponds very broadly to what DDO currently do, which is basically there's stuff to do all the way up. Now, they can't possibly have no quests at all unless you paid for them. There must be some kind of
free... Well,
you've
got the starter ones, but that's only going to get you to level 20.
Yeah, Erid, Luinshire and Breeland, which is your starter areas. Yeah, but... Then you have so beyond there, nothing at all?
I don't know.
You just got to bash on monsters? Not even DDO does that. And they are so modelling this on DDO's.
Well, it's because it's been such a massive success for them.
But DDO wasn't doing so great before they did this. Lotro, I thought, was doing all right.
Rumours are it was 300,000 plus. So, you know, the Eve level of success.
I'm surprised they've rolled this out. I can only imagine that the DDO model... that they're implementing here is so phenomenally successful.
The DDO model
successful.
Got a 500% increase in subscribers.
In revenue,
by going,
yeah,
no,
actual.
Subscribers.
Yeah.
So 500% more people paid monthly for the game after it went free to play.
So presumably it's all about getting people in the doors for free and hoping that enough of them go, oh, go on then, down the line.
No, it's hoping that enough of them go, actually, I'm enjoying this, you know.
Mm. Also, I see this as important in the modern era where multiple MMOs are all trying to charge a subscription. I mean, if you've got someone who's playing World of Warcraft obsessively and EverQuest and this and something else, and that's just too much, what, $60 a month in subscriptions? Very few people can manage that. But so then they'll start to make hard choices. Now, you know, suddenly you've got four titles vying very literally for what this one $15 a month from this and one player, which who's going to win? Are you going to put yourself up against the mighty World of Warcraft?
That's why the lifetime subs have been selling so well. Which is, you know, I've been buying lifetime subs in games.
I just could never, even the £75 upfront one because, recently, was too much for me.
You know, I knew I was going to play for that long, and after that, I knew I'd get free access forever, which is effectively what they're doing
thing
here.
The thing is, if your customer is just not playing your game at all, then they're not going to give you any money in any shape or form. So, but if they're playing your game for free, as well as the other game that they are quite invested in and actually paying a monthly for, if they can only afford one monthly, you don't want to have your game knocked out of that.
What we've basically got here, and I'm basing this off of your experiences on your Friday nights and DDO.
I have spent more than I thought, but I spent less than I would have if I'd have subbed.
But if you had to sub, you wouldn't be playing.
Yeah.
So they got more out of you than they would have, which is the key.
If it were a flat, you must pay us $15 a month for DDO, or you just can't play at all, then I wouldn't be playing at all. I'd just not be in there at all.
Yeah,
but I have played.
If you
money,
were playing every day, you'd be subscribing.
Oh, absolutely. Because
you
play several games, I jump between different
you're
games.
You're playing once
I think
a
more
week.
More people are like me.
You're playing once a week, and I think most game players do not have the time to play every night.
I think we're less monogamous with our MMOs.
No, I think it's more now. I think that if you look at 99% of the Warcraft people, you'll find that they have lives, they have families, they can't keep playing. They can get a couple of hours a week in.
Yeah.
And this free-to-play type thing where you unlock, okay, right, I've created this, well, I want a new zone to play in, I will unlock that. That, I think, is a very appealing model if you pay a fiver to get a new zone instead of paying your tenner per month.
I think what this is that it becomes a lot more flexible based on a particular month of a player's available time. I mean, some months, yeah, you're paying $15 a month every month. Some months you're going to easily get your money's worth because you'll play about 40 hours at least, probably more. Some months you'll only play 2 or 3 hours, and that's a criminal waste of money.
And some months you may not have time to play at all.
Yeah, so you'll pay $15 for nothing.
Yeah.
In this case, with your premium player and your bolt-on, buy the extra bits as you see them. I mean, this is basically what I've done. We play DDO, we use the free stuff when we like, when we can. But sometimes we'll buy an adventure pack as a big guild thing. And we'll play those until we finish with them. And that is content that we particularly demand at the time. It's the on-demand thing, isn't it? You buy as much as you need and as much as you'll use.
When you buy an adventure pack, is there a significant download, or is all the content in the game?
No, it's just
it's just an unlock, isn't it?
It's just a true or false flag on the database at their end. Yeah, we already got it all, obviously. Yeah.
I was just wondering.
No, there's no big download for any of it. No, it's already there. You've
in
already
the console world with DLC, there's this big lot of people complaining that there's 140k downloads available for DLC on release.
You are paying basically $15 for a true flag in a database somewhere. One bit.
Well, it just means they pre-cached the game onto your computer.
So, all right, a couple of questions. Do you think World of Warcraft will do this?
I think World of Warcraft...
do you think they need to? They seem to be doing all right with the model they have.
They're experimenting with a model of their own.
Yeah, do you reckon...
And don't forget what they did with the Sparkly Pony recently is a major play into the cash market.
But they seem to have the capacity and the followers such that they can afford to do cash shop and subscription.
Yeah, I don't think that they will do it, because I don't think
they don't need to. I suppose.
They won't. No, isn't really a fair way to determine these things. It's more a case of would they see a bonus number
What's
of people paying cash?
Mm.
And I think at the moment it wouldn't do them any justice, because there's an awful lot of people in there not playing or playing in this style now, I reckon.
Mm.
And they are willing to pay this subscription because it's the big game. That's the one that everyone has to prepare against.
Yeah. And if it isn't broken, don't fix it, I suppose. Well,
this wouldn't get them more money. It will happen. Yeah. When their player numbers do drop, whether it's tomorrow or 5 years down the line, I could see them doing it. But with the number they've got now, I don't see the need to.
Yeah.
I don't see it would pay off for them. But I can see every other game doing this.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I mean, I wonder if we're going to see increasingly the... come in and play as much as you like
if
for free.
If Sony aren't implementing this by this time next year, I'd be very surprised.
You think we'll see EverQuest 2 go for something similar?
And Galaxies and all of their games, I reckon.
Mm.
And with the Station Pass, you then get an incredibly nice, easy offer, which works really well for that sort of thing.
Well, they certainly got the administration and back end ready for this kind of thing, I'm sure, yeah. Hmm.
So, I'm very positive about it. This does not mean the game's dying. This just means that they think it will be bigger with it than without.
I'm not so sure. I think if you could charge $15 a month to everyone for play and just get lots of people in, wouldn't you rather do that?
Yeah, but this model...
Because I know for a fact, yes, you say that I'm giving Turbine money for DDO that I otherwise wouldn't be giving at all, because I otherwise wouldn't be playing if it were a sub. But I am definitely up on the sub. I paid them less than I would have paid in a sub.
But you wouldn't have given them any cash at all. You are the type of person they want to bring in.
Hooray!
Not the sort of person who is already in there who's going to sub.
Mm. And, of course, VIP is available in DDO as well.
Yeah. What happened?
You can always sub if you want to.
And they got a 500% increase in the number of people who subbed because of it.
Because they're probably seeing themselves buying far too many adventure packs and thought, well, I might as well just have them all unlocked for free for 15 a month.
Yeah. Although, in the long term, you're probably better off buying for the... Oh, that's an interesting sum, that. If you go through and work out how much it costs to unlock all the packs as you get
against
how long you're going to take to play it, you can then work out how much you've saved in the long run. Now, I reckon that the lifetime sub people really come out of that laughing, that number. But if you're a premium player and you just buy all the content over a year, Will you have spent a year's worth of subscription?
Depends entirely on the Turbine Point yeah. value of everything they're putting together. But it looks like from this description they're doing quest packs by zone.
Yeah.
So let's see. So you get three starter ones to begin with for free. Then we go Shirebury Land, Eridlu. Okay, so you've got North Downs, Lone Lands, Troll Shores, Angmar, Evendim, Forachel, Eridgian. Rivendell is a city. Presumably that will count as its own set, will it?
Oh, I guess so.
And then you get Misty Mountains as well. I think there's only nine zones.
And the new one they're adding.
They're adding a
which
new
they've actually announced now as part of this.
Oh, the new one that's got to the yeah. south, Dunland or wherever it is. Yeah, so that'll be 10.
Yeah.
Hmm. So there's only 10 more venture packs to buy on this model. Because from what I gather, you get everything in Moria when you buy yeah. Moria. Anyway.
Moria becomes an adventure pack.
It is an adventure pack, and same with Mirkwood. And presumably Moria includes Lothlorien as well? Or is that going to be an extra? I don't know. Oh, no, because you got that with... Yeah.
Yeah.
The way I see it, you only get 10... There's only 10 more adventure packs to buy if you're a premium player starting yeah. from scratch.
And I believe the books aren't going the same way. I think they're still available.
Hmm.
I can't remember where I read that, and I could be wrong.
So you charge, what, $10 per pack? I'm trying to work off yeah. rough guide from DBO okay. how much that those cost. They cost between about $5 and $10, roughly.
So if you're paying for
you
10
pay
of them,
about $100 for all the content in the game, that's you effectively a lifetime subscriber, sort of,
yeah.
isn't it? Yeah, yeah. It's just different ways to give them the same amount of money, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but as long as they're increasing more... stuff along the line. That's why the lifetime sub is so attractive.
Do you think this is something of a counter to the lifetime sub in that so many people are now playing on lifetime that they're not actually getting that much in subs?
No, I don't think so at all.
They're trying to give lifetimers new ways to pay them money.
No, because we're going to get...
Are you going to get all this for free?
I don't know.
Everything coming soon.
Well, that's the point.
I think
this was take us up until the release of the new stuff.
Mm.
Now the question
is: this was a lot of the outrage from some of the lifetime subs on this news was that they feel that they're going to be marginalised and forced to pay for stuff that they didn't think they would need to pay for. I mean,
the next expansion.
Well, the expansions you always had to pay for anyway.
Yeah,
but that was it.
Whereas we haven't been seeing an awful lot of free content added to the game in the last year.
Mm. And also, are they going to be developing all the cool and interesting stuff for packs rather than as standards? Are we going to see general infrastructure stuff take a back seat?
That's the question. Will we, as subscribers, as VIPs, get access to this new stuff when it comes out? It says we only get the Eriador quest packs, so...
Well, you get Eriador to get... Moria and Mirkwood, you need to buy yeah. the expansions
so,
for those.
When still. They release, say, this yeah. new zone, mm. will we have to pay for that?
Does at that count point, as Eriador?
Are we
yeah.
going to have to buy a quest pack as subscribers?
Geographically, it counts as Eriador, but what that actually means in terms
what
billing,
I suspect will happen, is this not what happens with DDO? Whenever they add anything new,
mm.
the subscribers get it for free.
I think so, yeah.
Because yeah. that's what I suspect will keep happening. As a lifer and as a monthly, you will get all of the content for free. You'll get
imagine
access to
seen
all
what
the
else is
going to
show up in their item shop. I imagine we'll see all sorts of cosmetics. And
oh, there's bazillion cosmetics going
whatever,
in.
Yeah.
And nothing game-changing. You're not going to be paying for first-age legendaries.
There will be opportunities to pay them more money, even if you are a
yeah.
lifetimer, I'm sure.
And I can imagine, say, James from our group being very keen on using his... 500 points a month to buy some of the cosmetics if
yeah.
they're really good
yeah.
and I can imagine me doing the same.
Well, we'll have to see. I think it's interesting news though, and it's significant because okay, DDO was perhaps a bit of a niche, perhaps a bit of a sidelined project, perhaps dropping below the radar on many people, whereas LOTRO, I don't know, it's definitely up there amongst
I
the list
saw
of big
LOTRO
MMOs.
As
it is a
the second biggest fantasy. It's bigger than EQ2, I reckon.
I mean, we haven't done a big numbers exercise or seen any real numbers in a long time.
I reckon
but it's
bigger than EQ2.
Certainly perception.
Definitely
yeah.
bigger than War. Definitely bigger than Conan.
Do you think you would not be shouted at for calling this a AAA MMO, would you?
No.
No. And they've decided to go with it?
Even Tobold was grudgingly respectful about how good it is, saying that it was just because he already plays WoW that he didn't get into it.
Yeah, I mean, many people would admit it's broadly very similar to WoW, but... And suddenly they're going for this. This is a significant one. This I think you see a lot of smaller
yeah.
MMOs
this
doing
is the
this
tipping
thing.
Point.
This one is yeah. Take note. I think this one is the start of a big change, I think. Perhaps we'll start to see some of the other... Perhaps it would suddenly become no longer tenable to try exacting a monthly sub.
As long as...
Without this kind of extra option.
As long
well.
As the people who pay or have paid for the lifetime get access to all of the meaningful content, so all of the quests, all of the zones, all that, for as long as they're subbed, then... And that just makes the free one as a way for other people to be able to play it for less.
Yeah. I mean, when we go off to APB, when we've had enough of our fill, I will downgrade to premium and probably just keep popping in, whereas otherwise I would have actually cancelled and just walked away from
it. Well, you'll...
I will become a premium player.
You will pay them a fixed... chunk of cash to get your bags up, your gold cap removed, and your legendaries.
No, I'm stubborn and bloody minded. I'll give it a go with three bags and five gold. We'll see if it's even possible. But I have my doubts. But yeah, but I'll probably keep it available, just keep it ticking along, and be able to buy up extras if we need as we need them. But
and they're going to have to add free content to this again to bring people back in, which is why I think the books are going to be free, because they need a reason to get you to go back and have a look to resub.
I wonder what happens with the epic book storylines. Is that counted?
I think that's going to be free, because I think they are going to want to have something when they put this new content and say, look, you've done all the rest of them, you might as well come do the new one. You don't have to pay anything, just come in and play, and hopefully they'll hook you again.
Well, yeah, I mean, ultimately, when at the end of the day, what this comes down to is that I am now no longer going to cancel Lotro when I get bored of it.
Yeah, which is
that's what it's all about.
That is major.
It's interesting times ahead. Also, just a quick tangent, I noticed that this is also available for EU.
Yes.
Codemasters are actually implementing this EU as well.
What is going on with DDO?
I wonder why, Europe DDO. Why are we not seeing a Codemasters DDO EU? No free play for DDO in Europe.
If anyone from Turbine is listening, please tell us.
They did this in parallel with the US one, or are doing it in parallel. Yeah. Whereas DDO is still months and months and months behind. Interesting. Yeah. Should we do the Twitter question? Because we're massively over.
We are massively over, but that's, you can blame that. Well, you can blame the fact that we're massively over and the fact that the Twitter question will be quite short.
If you have issue with how much we've overrun, do travel backwards in time and tell yourselves to skip ahead an hour.
Also, blame Turbine. Okay, what was the two questions again?
Right, well, we had one which was... I was tweeting during the week. Actually, this is related. Our Lotro kinship is getting a bit restless, and we were sort of looking for where we're going next. I think we're probably going to finish Volume 2 anyway, but and what with this latest bombshell announcement completely usurping the Twitter question, turns out we're probably never going to leave Lotro now.
Yeah.
You can never leave.
We're going to be back for every book, aren't we?
We are, yeah. We'll pop back in when they add new stuff. Genius. Very clever what they've done.
Very.
So we were asking... I was asking what was the best MMO in terms of dynamic group gameplay. If we've got six people approaching an MMO as a static group, which has quite different requirements to just going at it like a normal...
It's set number of hours per week.
4 hours a week, can we get anything meaningful done? We've got six people, is the group that big?
Yeah.
Lots of criteria. And we were tweeting about that during the week, and also I then extended that to cover this Twitter question. Also, we're all bored with your black t-shirts at work. So
I wasn't wearing black on Friday, and two people, you included, commented on my black t-shirt. Purple.
We just built up this it wasn't even a stereotyped image of you. So what t-shirt are you wearing at the moment?
Wearing a black t-shirt.
Black t-shirt, yes, there we go. So I was looking for improved t-shirt suggestions to get him to go and buy. So that was our bonus podcast.
Starting off, I'll let you guess which one this is for. CM Gangrel says, front, instructions on back. Back, instructions on front.
I like it.
That's obviously for the t-shirt.
Yeah, the t-shirt.
Ackley says, have not played enough for an informed answer. I can say EQ has a lot of content, but it's easy to level away from others.
EQ 2, yeah.
Now, we've both played that before.
Yeah, they have some kind of mentoring thing in there, I'm sure. But, yeah, I've always liked EQ 2's mechanics. I've always thought it's been a very solid MMO, but I think its setting is a bit drab, a bit... conventional, a bit Disney. But then again, I haven't seen any of this Timorous Deep or Kunark stuff or even the New Hellas stuff, so perhaps that's improved and changed. I was very impressed with the Kelethin and Lesser Faedark stuff they added, the Faedark.
Yep.
So EQ2 potential, yeah.
Tolkien says Left 4 Dead 2 player. Left 4 Dead 2 4 player co-op is absolutely awesome. I agree, it is.
Oh, we'll have to.
Especially if you move into realism mode. Weekly mutations add major variety.
Yeah.
This week's is Infinite Chainsaw.
Brilliant. I mean, I've yet to play Left 4 Dead 2, but I can see that being a good console night contender.
Oh, yeah. We played that.
Myself a copy.
Several times.
Yeah.
He goes on, for more players, can't think of a good one bar WoW itself, i.e., the static dungeon group. The Ancient Gaming News Potshots are in. Now, we can't do WoW.
Why is that?
We have six people.
We have six people, exactly. I don't understand why WoW went with five.
It's a decision which has stopped us going to their game.
It means we're not going to bother being a static group in WoW because we've got too many people. But I'm just wondering why five. It seemed to work, though, which perhaps suggests that there's a received wisdom six should be the group size, but isn't really the case. I don't know. There's less room for margins for error in WoW, I remember that much.
Eric Cho says, it seems Ancient Gaming Noob enjoys WoW and the instances there a lot. Sounds like fun for a static group.
Yeah. I always did like the instance runs in WoW, and I'd love to try them as part of a static group. But yeah, six people, what can we do?
And
tell someone to go away, obviously.
And then suggests I get an Arm with Stupid t-shirt.
Go with the classics. Excellent.
You do realise who's stupid?
No, because I'll sit the other side of you.
Okay. Asgar says, static groups make it difficult. I'll probably say Guild Wars because of their level cap and ease of travel.
Yeah, we have a lot of success in our regular Guild Wars thing. I mean, I'm not sure I'd want to play that two times a week in two different static groups. Well, it's not a static group in Guild Wars. We have a guild and we split up and have different teams. I mean, it's very forgiving on levels, and it has team size of 8 for most of it. So,
yep,
a good potential.
That is disintegrating rapidly down.
Yeah, I think this is about when Turbine dropped their bombshell, so all the results go all over the place from there, really. But
yeah,
there's a lot of links to t-shirts, so you're not going to click on them.
Not all of them. There's some brilliant ones. The Cookie Monster,
the Cookie Monster binge.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Yeah, that's got to be a contender. I like the DeLorean smashing into the TARDIS. It came out of nowhere. That was a very good one. I might buy that one myself.
Or also the chase by dinosaur one, exercise motivation thing.
Yeah. Some good ones there.
And the I'm only here because my server is down one. But replacing server with my Xbox is OD'd.
Excellent. Keep talking
while I look through the list.
Most people got rather distracted with Turbine's big announcement on the Friday there, so didn't bother answering us.
Titchy,
which is fine.
It says, I'm not sure if it's answering the question right, but I think co-op FPSs are the best for static groups.
I'm enjoying Gears Horde mode.
Yeah. And there's plots in these games too.
We did some Borderlands a while back, didn't we? That was quite good too.
Halo 3 and ODST has 4-player co-op all the way through. Gears of War 3 is adding it.
So with the static group, the idea is to don't play on that character other times, keep it all moving together.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they're a bit small. We need six people. Well, five, because by definition, doing this, we were unfortunately told Ed to go away if we go to the console. So that's not really an option.
Well, we've got console night during the week as well to think of too. We're looking for six people, particularly.
Debart says, I really like Pirates of the Burning Sea.
Unfortunately I didn't. I liked the sailing, that was alright, but I can't see how six people, I don't know, perhaps the economy of it all interlinks very well.
And then suggests the two girls one up.
Classy. Yeah, I don't know about Pirates. I mean, the sword fighting wasn't that great. I don't know what the group works like in there, though. That's the thing.
Notarist says Dungeon Siege.
Oh, that was really good, yeah.
Can you get...
Yes, well, it was four-player co-op, I think.
I got bored of Dungeon Siege.
It's very samey. It's basically Diablo, but 3D rather than sprites. But I liked it. I'm just not sure about a whole co-op thing.
No. And that's it. Well, that was a short one.
All right, yeah. Well, there you go. Turbine stealing our thunder.
Yeah.
Fine. Kids. So, what did you learn this week?
I learnt that every major announcement about a game is on a Friday. And I knew that already. It just really confirmed my belief.
And I learnt that the patio didn't kill me, but it came damn near close.
No, you haven't finished yet.
I've got to do the pointing, you know, the mortar in between each one. But all the slabs are down now, and I nearly had a coronary this afternoon, so I've been quite subdued and hurty.
I also learnt that after Doctor Who, sometimes they have to put a helpline number up in case you're affected by anything in this episode.
Yeah, I've never seen that if any of the issues in the show have
affected
you.
I want to know how many kids have phoned up talking about monsters under beds and stuff. It was an episode about manic depressives and suicides.
Yes.
So it's what happens if you ask Richard Curtis to write an episode of anything.
Yeah,
he is. I mean, now back in TV ever since the end of Blackadder.
Anyway, stop talking, we've been going far too long.
Okay,
see you next time.
Goodbye.